Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Rant of a Free Trapper. This is Clint Locklear with Predator Control Group, Woodford Nation, and Trapping Radio, and all that good stuff. It's pretty chilly. Now, I will admit, I have not given in. I have not kneeled to winter yet. And I'm about to have to. It was 19 degrees yesterday morning and never got above freezing, and I refused to put on britches. Still in shorts. Today, it's very damp. It's in the mid-20s, and still haven't put pants on, but I may have to break down. So, I think winter's going to finally get me as far as what I wear, and, you know, that's kind of a weird thing to say, but I don't know. I just like wearing shorts. Other stuff, just not as cool, but I think winter's going to eventually get me on this one. And I know a lot of y'all, especially up north, have already had a cold winter and stuff like that, which I'm going to talk a little bit. I had a call today from a young man from Ohio, and on a trapping radio show this Friday, we're going to talk a little bit about trapping coyotes in the snow, so you don't have confusion if you read other things. So if you're in a northern state, you might find this interesting. I want to go and take a second to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Talking to Alan this morning, and this is where part of the show comes from today. But he's a great guy. Hilltop Outdoors, Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He's all over Amazon, Bonanza, Walmart, eBay, has his own websites, different things like that. Honest guy. So if you're looking for somebody that you want to deal with, that you know that you can trust, Alan is one of them type people. Plus, he's a member of the Trapping Radio Fur Brigade, so you get a 10% discount off of that. Okay, are you a good sardine or not? That's right, I'm comparing you to a sardine. Now, most of us, I do believe, are going to think of a sardine that's a canned product that you eat. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about a live sardine. See, there's an interesting thing about sardines. Sardines go in great big, I don't know if you'd call them herds or packs or whatever. They're a group fish. And I wonder what that is called with fish. I bet it's got a name. But anyway, they travel by the tens and thousands of thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands at a whack. Now, there's an interesting thing about sardines, which from a business point of view has a lot of practicality, from a national point of view has a lot of practicality, and from a personal view has a lot of practicality. Sardines have, and a lot of other small fish do too, have a unique ability to, in less than a second, turn 100,000 fish in the opposite direction. Now, I don't know if they can communicate with sounds or anything like a dolphin. I don't know. But they can be going one direction, and they can instantly change direction of the whole group of fish. I've seen it, I'm sure, on TV, where it looks like, you know, they're almost like one organism. And they can change 100,000 fish's direction in less than a second. And they can do that repeatedly over and over again if they need to. Now, when you think about a whale or a great big tuna or something that's large, you know, even a barracuda or something like that, that can be quite large, when they go to turn around, it's kind of like a big battleship. You know, you've always heard that, it's hard to turn a battleship. If you've ever seen a real battleship, you realize it's like, you know, 2.5-3 city blocks of a boat. And if you're in the Navy, and I get the ship or the boat thing wrong, I'm sorry. You know, I was in the Army, not the Navy. So I don't know what you call it. But I think they're called boats. Something about how they shift in the water when they turn. Anyway, the bigger the organism, the more energy it takes to move it. The smaller the organism, if they work together, the faster they can adjust. Now, see, there's some really cool things here about business, and I'm not going to go into this very much. Part of the disruptiveness that comes in small business today, guys, is because somebody like myself or Jeff Dunlap or Chip or Tim or somebody like that that's got a small business that's lean, you don't have a whole lot of employees, you don't have a whole lot of staff, you don't have to have meetings, you don't have quarterly reports with stockholders, stuff like that. We can act like sardines. We can see something and flip it real quick. So we can change directions really, really quick. I'm going to give you an example of this. There's a lot of talk right now with a lot of states like Ohio, I think Pennsylvania, possibly New York. Some of those areas, right? Michigan's already done it. Lots of deer hunters always have used bait, and now because of the scare of the chronic wasting disease, which I think is ridiculous because they find 3 deer a year and they got 100,000 smacked on the side of the road, they're concerned with the 3 and not the 100,000 or the 100 or the 1,000 or whatever the number is. I mean, it's in the scheme of things, it's nothing. But government agencies always do what they do, and they try to make sure that they always control everything, and I think that's why the chronic wasting disease is what it is, and they always make it really, really scary, and they do all kind of stuff. But what they're going to do, it looks like, is to stop baiting for deer hunters. Now, there is a ton of really big deer, I don't know what you would call them really, they're not really lure makers, but they sell products to the deer industry, and a lot of them are based off of baits. Now, if the game wardens go make a law out of this, it's going to really hurt a lot of the bigger deer companies that have massive employees, they have massive infrastructure, they're buying stuff at, you know, on commodity level, they're throwing it in bags, and all of a sudden a lot of their market is disappearing, like Michigan, Ohio, possibly New York, Pennsylvania. It's probably going to end up that way in other states, and I don't know which states you can bait or not, but it's going to drastically change. Now, as a small business person, I can easily, as soon as I hear that information, I can go check the validity of it. I can think about it for a few minutes and go, I need to come up with deer products, because that's now part of my business, that are not food-based, that still get the deer where you want them to get on a regular basis. So that's a whole different way of doing things than having, you know, like when you go to the store and you're buying beet pulp and roasted pecans ground up and chestnut meal and all this type of stuff that these bigger companies have so much money invested in. And they're so large at this time, they're going to be like a whale. So when these changes come down, they're going to start trying to turn the whale. And they're going to be, you know, trying to turn it. And where they start to turn and where they finish to turn is going to be a long way. Now, a small sardine like myself, I can go done instantly. So I've already contemplated with some ideas and stuff. So I've already changed directions away from stuff that's just to deal with corn and, you know, peanuts and stuff like that. Totally switching that around because the need of the market has changed and I have to be able to change with it. Does that kind of make sense? See, that's from a business point of view. Now, from a personal point of view, you can do that also if you have your own revenue streams. If you're not heavily in debt, if you're not indebted to other people, and you know you're up to date on everything, you can switch directions in your life pretty freaking quick. But if you have a job and it's like every penny you make pretty much goes just to keep your lifestyle up, you're going to be very cautious about doing a quick change. Even though, no matter what the market, which the market and what I'm referring to is life, whatever life throws at you, you're going to be like that big whale and you're going to be trying to turn, or that big battleship trying to turn, where somebody else can pivot and go just the way they want to go. It's more nimble. You know, it's kind of like part of the reason that we've been in Afghanistan now for, what, 15, 17 years? You've got small groups of Afghans with old, ancient AK-47s. They work independently, and they make decisions immediately. Where the military does not work that way. Not the United States military. Not the regular ground forces. Now, as far as special forces or SEALs, they probably are not as restricted as we were, but they're probably pretty still restricted. You've got to go to your officer. He's got to go to his officer. He's got to go to the platoon or the company. They got to go to up to the brigade. They've got to go to division. Then they've got to go, when I was in the 82nd, they have to go to the 18th Airborne Corps, which has got to go to the Pentagon. And by the time everybody does their hand wringing about everything that can go wrong, information comes back down the same way through the chain of command, and it is now too old to do anything with, and the opportunity's gone. Or the men are in trouble because no one can make a decision that fast. Me and Cindy were out to dinner the other night, and I met a younger man, probably mid-20s, maybe 30, and come to find out he was in the Army. We got to talking a little bit, and he is a drone operator. Now, what was interesting is his drone has got a 56-foot wingspan. That's as big as a freaking stealth bomber. I mean, that's huge. I think my house is it's a brick ranch home, 1,800 square feet. I think the total length of my whole house is 70 feet. So this thing's wingspan is damn near my 1,800 square foot house. So it's big. And we got to talking about capabilities and stuff, and I'm not sure if he should have said everything he said, but so I'm not going to say anything like that. But one of the things that intrigued me was, it used to be in the military that if you were dealing with ships, like in the Middle East, that would fire from a ship for support missions, you would have to go through the Army chain of command, which would have to start and go up through the Navy chain of command. But the guy on the ground couldn't talk with the guy on the ship. There was all these levels in between there. He's saying now, the drones, the way that they do that, he's personally talking to the ground pounder in his earphones. So it's instant. If it needs to be done, all he's got to do pretty much look over his shoulder, and the guy that's over him just gives him a nod. I mean, instant. That is not the way it used to be at all. Even in the military, the drones are turning into sardines, where our artillery used to be battleships. Not that we just used battleships to fire guns, but it was slow, and you missed a lot of opportunities. Now, I want to bring up the country. And like I said, part of this came from Alan at Funky Trap Tags and Supply. He sent me an email, which we're going to get into. I started doing some research on it, and I pretty much come to a decision, which isn't really going to affect me very much, but it could affect some people that want my products in California. As a country, I think we're confused about what America is. America, from the politician's point of view, is a battleship. It's slow to turn. It's slow to change public opinion. It's slow to get results. And part of that reason is the politicians love the power of running the battleship. That's not really what America is. Now, if we get a bunch of changes to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that could be what it turns into, but it's not that way right now. It's an illusion that politicians give and people with agendas give, so the course has got to stay the way it is. And you can start correcting it, but it's going to be years before anything gets done. Guys, that is not the case. Politicians are wusses. Politicians only care. Only. And if you're a politician and you disagree with me, we both know that you're a freaking liar. You only care about being reelected. Now, you may have other things you sort of care about, but it all's based off of getting reelected. When the sardines of the country, which are 310 million sardines now, start to change direction, and you realize you're not heading in that direction anymore, you're going to be out of office. Now, when scientists study sardines, this is what I find so fascinating about patterns in nature. Do you know how many sardines it takes to move 100,000 sardines direction in less than a second? 3%. Now, I want you to think about how closely resembled to sardines the American population is. You've got majority of the people that are in the middle. They really don't see a whole lot. They're just doing their thing, and they're trusting everybody else around them to give them signals of warning or that things are going good and stuff like that. And then on the outside of this, whatever you call a big herd of fish, you've got about 3% that are seeing things. So if a great big Mako shark's coming at them, they go, we need to move. Now, they don't have to, as far as I know. They don't have sound, like I said. But those 3% jerk direction. And when the other hundreds of thousands of sardines in the middle see the direction change, they automatically follow it because they know there's probably a reason for that. And then, you know, as everything gets kind of filtered around inside the pack, there's some more on the outside. They see the danger. And if there's another shark coming from another angle, they can change directions again to try to protect all of the sardines. Kind of makes sense what I'm saying? That is the way Americans should look at our life. Now, I will say, America seems to be going crazier by the moment. And I think it's a seems to be. But see, what the people in charge and what the people with these agendas are not really explaining is the sardines are starting to change direction. And when it changes direction, it's going to change drastically. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. You're going to be embarrassed to be a radical liberal here in not too many years. Nobody is going to pay attention to you. At all. Nobody. Because you sound like an absolute freaking nutcase. Because most of the time you are. You know, I've thought about making this t-shirt where just to see people's opinion when I go out is to go, I am a vegetarian. I only eat meat. How dare you challenge my self-identity? Now, to a liberal, that's going to be a paradoxical puzzle he's going to have a hard time getting around. Because if you can choose to be a girl and you're a male, I can choose to be a vegan if I'm a meat eater. You're going to have a hard time logically working through that, or much less saying that, because I self-identify. And if I wore the t-shirt and a progressive liberal started getting up in my face about it, I would even go even further, guys. I would have some fun. I would go, yes, I'm a vegetarian. I only eat a carnivore diet, so I'm only eating meat. And how dare you challenge my right to self-identity, considering that I'm a gay, transsexual, whatever else I can come up with off the top of my head. I would probably throw Muslim in, Native American in, indigenous identity. I would throw every single thing back at them and see how they handle it. Because a vegetarian that only eats meat is preposterous. But the t-shirt would prove the point, how preposterous that is. And that is the way people are starting to look at all this. You know, we've got, 100 and something genders now? Goes against science. We're look across the country. We're anything but global warming. Preposterous. The sardines are starting to move. And we've talked about the pendulum swing over and over and over again. It's shifting. Comics are now making fun of liberals. People on liberal networks are starting to make fun of liberals. Everyday people are making, I get a kick out of just bringing certain things up if I'm going through the line at Walmart and there's a 70-year-old lady behind the thing ringing up the, you know, the food or whatever it is, and, you know, no telling what her life story really is, and you'll kind of say something. And she's not even holding back anymore. It is amazing to me how people are changing. Now, we get the illusion of no one's changing for the simple fact that the media and the politicians and the loudmouth liberals that just scream and holler and throw hissy fits all the time, they give the illusion that they're the majority. There's been polls after polls after polls, guys. Polls after polls after polls. Only 8% of Americans today is the highest it's ever ranked, agrees with political correctness. Now, that means 92% of the sardines don't think it's a good idea. They're sick of it and they're tired of it. And it's going to switch. I talked to a gentleman, and I'm not going to mention the state, but it was in a northern state, and he was a military officer, which I had to get over my bias to that when he told me that. Just kidding. Maybe not. And his son has had some problems at school, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And he was just saying, you know, he listens to Trapping Radio and stuff, and it kind of, you know, keeps him sane and things like that. Brother, it's going to change. Your kid will not grow up as an adult in the same world that he's growing up in now. Nor will he put up with the nonsense that we put up with now. It's going to flip. The military already sees this change happening. That's why their advertisements are now going to the individual warrior again. It used to be the Army of One. Y'all remember that? And then it went to all this community stuff and crap like that. Now they're going back to the warrior, the individual warrior again. Why? Because that's what the sardines are moving towards. And when the group of sardines moves in that fashion, it's going to be swift. And there's going to be a lot more screaming from the 8% that just want to have political correctness and snowflakiness and all that other stuff that frustrates the snot out of us. So what are you? In your own life, in your own ideology, and when you talk to other people and stuff like that, are you acting like one of the sardines that's on the outside of the pack that sees something coming and, you know, doesn't hesitate to make a movement? Because people follow. That's what people do. You know, I probably only really knew maybe a dozen leaders when I was in the military. A dozen. The rest were followers. Leadership is a weird thing. You can't teach it. You can help somebody become a better leader intellectually, but it's just one of those things. Because the group kind of figures out who the leader is, and no matter what the orders are, they kind of go through the leader, even if they don't have rank to be the, quote, technical leader. Saw that all the time. What you need to be is that sardine that you see in danger. Or you hear politically correctness and you don't keep quiet about it. I don't. I know a lot of people. I was talking to Scott Adams. Someone talked about soldiers. And Scott apparently went off on this guy in a grocery store. He said people clapped when the guy walked off in frustration. 5 years ago, nobody would have clapped. Another 6 months to a year, other people are going to be saying the same thing in a situation like that. And the 8% that pretend to be the majority are going to just shuffle away like little bitty monsters going back into the shadows. Because they realize we ain't going to put up with it no more. Which brings me to the topic of today. I get an email from a wholesaler. It's actually Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. It's Alan. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. And what he wrote me was, just wanted to check to see if your products are okay to sell in California. Looks like they will not be able to eat or drink much of anything ever again, as most food preserved with cancer-causing chemicals Hope your products will be good without the preservatives. This just may be the new California treat. I sure hate to see these California people wilt away. This has been added to Amazon listings right now. What a crock. So this is a wholesaler in Iowa emailing a manufacturer, which is me in Tennessee, basically going, what's your products as far as following this list? Now, I pay attention to California basically none. See, I just don't let those fruit baskets interfere with my daily thinking in my life. They want to destroy their own economy, they can go right ahead. They want to just, you know, run all the businesses out where they all property values are going to go down, and eventually we're all going to be able to move to California where it's about the same price as buying a house in Georgia. They can go right ahead. I just don't let them. It's kind of like, you know, actors and singers. Those people have no sway over me, and I'm not going to give them any thought whatsoever about what they say. None. So I don't normally pay attention. So I didn't know about this, but since it is to do with my business, I actually spent some time researching this. It's called California Prop 65. Proposition 65. California has got their own sets of rules. And I think as a constitutionalist, I think that's fine. I think they cause a lot of heartache with the rest of the country when they do this, but that's their prerogative, because eventually they're going to go away. California's not going to be the California you think it is, because there's not going to be anybody there that's a producer anymore because of the nut jobs that run everything and keep voting these nut jobs in. Where does Nancy Pelosi come from? Thank you very much. So what this is, now businesses, if you're going to sell anything in the state of California, you're going to have to go through every ingredient in every aspect of your production. And if it has a warning of, if California or federal says it could be dangerous, could cause cancer, could cause all this stuff, you've got to start putting warning labels on the products. Now, imagine that on a 2-ounce bottle of, say, FurCheck. Who in the world would open the bottle if you get it to go put it out to catch a fox or a coyote, and it's got all these warning labels about cancer and dangerous and this, that, and the other? Well, nobody does. Now, the government looks at this like they're protecting the people of California. For one, they're treating them like children. They're treating them like they're dumbasses. And a lot of the people in California vote in people that think they are dumbasses because they keep voting the same way. So they're getting exactly what they deserve, which means the product pool that's going to be going to California is going to shrink. Now, what does this mean? According to the state of California, if you select any of these type products, you must provide a warning that meets California's regulations. Anything that's in food, and I'm totally against processed food. I think it's dangerous. I think that's the reason we're all fat. I think that's the reason we're all weak. I think that's the reason we're all sick. I think majority of it has to do with processed foods. That's the cereal you eat in the morning and the peanut butter and jelly you're eating at lunch. I think it's unhealthy. That's me personally. I'm not eating it. I'm just not eating it. I don't want the government to come in and do stuff like this because you don't know who's going to be making the rules next time. A pure vegan? A vegetarian? A Seventh-day Adventist? Someone that has religious views of what you can and can't eat? Like pork? See, it may start off as well-intentioned, but it never ends up there. And California's way past the well intentions, and they're going into crazy land. It's going to hurt them. Prop 65. Any food that's got any more, you have to name each individual chemical in California that can cause birth defects, reproductive harm, or inflammation to cancer, and stuff like that. Now, on the front side of that, I think for food, that's a little bit different. You people should know what they're putting in their body. If they're putting crap in their body and they got a crappy body afterwards, well, then they should know why they got a crappy body. It shouldn't be hidden because you're putting it in your body. This also applies to furniture. Any chemical that's used in any process of this furniture, even the wood, has to have a warning. Even the cloth has to have a warning because they're colored with chemicals and they're in all this type of stuff. So now in California, when you go to buy a couch, I guess there's going to be stickers all over it, how you're going to not be able to reproduce, you're going to die of cancer, and this, that, and the other. The reason I'm saying this, what furniture manufacturer is going to go compete in that type of environment? The ones that are there already will probably just put the stickers on there. People outside of California is going to go screw them. So the people of California are going to have less diversity in what they get to choose. The people always get hurt. It's never the government. And I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. All chemicals. Now, when I read this, I kind of made a joke to Alan. Not really worried about it. All my meat is from organic, free-range, wild meat. Plant extracts. And essential oils. And organic musk. And stuff like that. Then I got to thinking, well, you know, like when I tincture certain things, I use vodka or pure grain alcohol. Or I may use sodium benzenoate, which you have to put in meat products or it's going to rot before you get it in the jar and blow up all in the postal truck. Sure enough, I would have to put a warning on every single thing I send to California. It gets worse than that, though. Now, I want you to think about the craziness of this. When I buy an essential oil from a company, I'm now going to have to get them to tell me every single solvent that they used with a chemical breakdown of each one of those. And then I'm going to have to, if I put that in my product, put warning labels on my bottles to go to California so someone catch a bobcat so they quit eating their chickens. But someone in California is going to get a bottle of mine. It's going to have, you know, possibly two or three different stickers on there saying it's going to give them cancer and hurt the reproductive and it's all this, that, and the other. And we're not talking about, like, you know, filling it with mercury and lead, guys. We're talking about salt. According to California, when I use any product with asafoetida, that's considered a cancer-causing agent because alcohol causes cancer. So every single thing of mine that's got asafoetida in it, or tinctured castor, or you know, my catnips that I tincture myself, all that stuff is going to have to be broke down chemically to do this. Who in their right mind is going to want to deal with California with this? So I told Alan, don't ship my stuff to California. And we ran into some issues with that because some of the stores won't let you opt out of certain states. Now what do? Well, it's kind of like if you own an AR-15 and tomorrow they pass a law that says you can only have four bullets in a magazine, you're now a criminal till you get rid of the magazines that were totally legal the day before. The more I looked at this, the crazier it goes. Warnings will be displayed. Drinking distilled spirits, beer, coolers, wine, and other alcoholic beverages may increase cancer risk during pregnancy and cause birth defects. For more information, go to. And you got to have a sticker that says it's cancer. If you have anything with wood in it, you've got to have warnings all over it because there could be dust molecules. Now, these dumb butts out in California, because of their environmental practices, they've got basically particulates of ash in the air and will for several months because of the forest fire. But they're worried that somebody drilled a dowel into a piece of furniture and there may still be some dust on it somewhere, and that's dangerous. It goes into vehicles. Imagine all the chemicals that go into vehicles that's going to have stickers on it. I mean, it's going to look like a NASCAR car by the time it gets to the dealership. This all comes from an drinking water, Safe Drinking Water and Toxic Environmental Enforcement Act of 1986. So, if you're in California, I'm not going to be selling you lure. Now, you can buy a lure from somebody else, but this is the end result of this, guys. And this is where either California is going to stay a battleship or they're going to be sardines. They're already taxed way too much. Their property cost way too much. They have more regulation than it almost is possible to have a business in. Unless you're the big corporations like Google and IBM. I mean, IBM, but Microsoft and Twitter and Facebook. And those agencies get billions of free taxpayer money to set up shop in those states. But for regular businesses, like me and you would start, why would you go to California? Why would you stay in California? So the jobs are going to continue to get lost, which they are, which I'm grateful. Every time I hear the new number, I'm like, good. Good. Now, is that going to be nice to the people in California that are looking for those jobs? No. But until enough of those people leave and enough of the other people that are working there decide we need to move with the regular sardines, it's going to continue to go the way that it is. Till it goes bankrupt, which it's going to, and it's going to screw it all up. What happens if I send lure to California and they run a test on it, and there's a chemical that the essential oil company didn't tell me about because it's a trade secret, and it shows up in the test, but I don't have a warning on it? It's $2,500 per unit. Per unit. Now, everything, like in Cat Collector, I know exactly what it is, except for two items. I don't know the solvents that are used for those two items. But if it shows up, and over the course of a year, I send 40 bottles of Cat Collector to people trying to save their chickens and ducks and goats in California, which I do send lure out there, used to, all of a sudden, I can get a lawsuit from the state of California 40 times 2,500. Now, what if I was had something else that went to California where I sold thousands of them? Now, are the people that get the product without the warning, do they get the $2,500? No. The state gets $2,500. What's getting ready to happen in California is you're going to have lawyers that are going to start hiring people to start going to the stores and getting products and ordering stuff on Amazon and websites to see if you get it shipped in, they're going to have a record. And they're going to be able to go down to the local university and have it tested on all the chemical breakdowns that are in whatever it is. And they're going to find something that didn't have a warning. That lawyer gets to now go to the state or individually sue the company. So now you're going to have lawyers that are going to be built up off more predatory services that they do just to take money from other people by bullcrap stuff like Proposition 65. So you're going to have a whole industry of lawyers that all they're going to do is sue companies. Because they're going to get paid for that. The state's going to get the main fines. You're going to have to pay for court costs. You're going to have to do all this stuff if you want to sell your products in California. I say screw them. As far as I'm concerned, they can use substandard stuff to go catch a bobcat. Not my problem. You voted these crazy people in, you deal with it. But in our individual lives, like the gentleman that called me from the north with his son having problems at school, it doesn't take the whole school system to change. And it didn't take your whole community to change. It's probably pretty dang close to the sardines. But until 3% of the sardines start moving, the hundreds of thousands of other sardines keep going in the same direction. That's how we got politically correctness. A small percentage of progressive liberals started screaming politically correctness. And we as a nation just kept going forward without turning. The smart thing would have been the first time that every time that happens, you just pretty much shut them down and tell them to quit being children. But most Americans are nice and we just rather not have the conflict. But if we are in a nation are going to be able to move forward, we need to understand that we have the power to be the 3% of the sardines that move the whole group of sardines. Not the government, not our school systems, us. Because when you do, things really start happening. That's why we got Trump. The majority of the sardines didn't like the way that the whole pack was going. So they went with somebody that would punch back. They went ahead and, you know, I heard something the other day I thought was interesting on one of the podcasts about Trump. People always have their opinions on him, and I'm the same way. But this person said, the main problem with Trump in Washington, D.C. is Washington, D.C. has not seen a human being that actually has Americans' interests first. So that's confusing. And it also kind of makes their power not as powerful. So they attack. And the biggest reason Trump gets all of the negative attention he gets and people get so outraged is our country is not used to seeing a man respond to being attacked. We're used to people trying to, you know, create the right sentences when they try to repel an attack. He goes around the media, goes straight to the American people, infuriates them. When they say something about him, he says something right back. It infuriates them. They're not used to seeing a man. I'm not talking about an individual with a penis. I'm talking about a man stand up. Confuses them. And it makes them mad. And they don't like it because most people in politician keep their power because they can walk all over each other and stay in business. And Trump is acting like a man. And it makes them mad. And the American people, I think still a majority of the American people, whether they'll say it publicly or not, they know Trump is actually for, they might not agree with what he's doing, but for the first time in my lifetime that I can remember politics, he's the first politician that seems to actually have America's best interest at heart, not his or not his party. That is powerful. And all the sardines swooped around last election, and now we have Trump. And it's a constant battle because you've got freedom-loving Americans trying to get the herd to go one way, and you've got the progressive liberals trying to take them straight to the socialist re-education camp. And it's going back and forth. But once that mass of probably 3 or 10% of Americans actually had enough and they start making movement, I ain't got nothing to worry about. We'll just leave the progressives out there in their own little herd where the shark eats them. Because that's what's going to happen to them. Because they can't function without stealing from their neighbors. If we don't let them steal from us, they ain't got a job, they ain't got no money, and they ain't got no food. So just think about this. What type of sardine are you? Don't fall for the illusion, guys, that it has to be the majority of people, because that's not true. Only 8% are controlling all of this crazy crap we hear about on the news right now. 8%! 92% of Americans don't want a part of it. But it gives the illusion, because those sardines are moving, and the 92% aren't really moving yet, that's where the country's going. That's where the herd of fish is going. And I'm starting to see, which gives me great relief, that people are now starting to speak out and not back down so easily from the political correctness. So don't let all this crap get to you. Disconnect from most of it. You're not going to change it anyway. You just keep doing what your little sardine self should be doing and moving in the direction that you need to move with. Because eventually, the mass of that is going to switch the whole group of fish to go in a more freedom-based way. That's my thoughts from a crazy redneck from Appalachian, Tennessee, talking about sardines. I'll talk to y'all next week.